You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Diet Plastics based in Lower Hutt in Wellington, and we have a PET recycling plant. So we're buying PET plastic waste out of the New Zealand waste stream, which is the plastic with the recycling code 1 on it, and we're buying all the clear PET from around New Zealand. So we're buying curbside recycling sourced material from all around the country. We buy it from the waste companies who, contracted to collect it for the councils, and that collection of clear PET can come to us here in Wellington. We put it through our new wash plant, and that wash plant gets it into a condition that we can then use it in our food grade packaging. So we're the only plant in New Zealand that is reusing New Zealand plastic waste for food grade purposes, and as far as we know, we're the only plant anywhere in the world that actually does all steps to take it from bottles back through the finished good, on one site. Largely because New Zealand's a smaller economy, and the bigger economies, these plants are massive. You have massive bottle recycling plant sitting out by the tip somewhere. In our case, we need to make more efficient, and we've done that by getting everything on one site. So we're producing food grade packaging, which is bakery trays, fruit and produce punnets, biscuit trays, all that sort of stuff, and those products that we are producing from a New Zealand recycled plastic can themselves be recycled many times. So it's a sort of virtuous circle. You put out your Coke bottle or your water bottle for recycling, can come here, we turn it into a kiwi fruit punnet, goes back to the supermarket, you can buy your kiwi fruit in it, and you can put your kiwi fruit punnet back in your recycling bin, come back here again and go around again. So it's a genuine circular economy.
I have heard that every time plastic is recycled, the quality goes down. Is that something that happens with that process?
Well, PET is exceptional stuff. It can be recycled many times. So if you took the same bottle and you took a bottle and you put it through the plant, and then you got it back as a punnet and put it through again and so on, it would probably go around 6, 7, 8 times and still be useful. But the practical application of this is that it can keep going around almost forever, because when it comes back the second time, it's freshened up with all the bottles that we're buying. It's like mixing, it's like gin and tonic. You keep putting some gin in it, it still strengthens it back up. So while there's a lot of virgin material coming into the country and we're recycling that, punnets can go round and round.
What is PET that makes it different to other forms of plastic?
Now that's a chemistry question, not a recycling question. But what PET, what I can tell is what fits PET's offering. I mean, PET is now the most used packaging material in the world, ahead of glass and aluminium. And the reasons for that are it's light, it's strong, so you can protect food with it. It's got good qualities as far as shelf life go. It is very recyclable. This thing we've just been talking about where it can go round and round, that has made it a really attractive material. In addition to that, there's a lot of PET goes into clothing, polyester clothing. So there's a lot of PET around in the food business. It's extremely clear for showing your goods. It's strong, so you're protecting your goods. And it's completely recyclable, so it gets the environmental tick as well. So that's what it's got going for it as far as the food packaging side goes. It's also got, and I don't know all the chemistry on this, but the environmental benefit it's got is that it's made from oil, made by as an oil derivative. A lot of it is actually made up of what would otherwise be vented into the atmosphere. So it's actually a carbon capture mechanism of its own, as is plastic generally, which doesn't get a lot of press. But if we were using all the oil in the world and not making plastic, we'd have significantly more greenhouse gas issues than we've currently.
So it's not made from oil, it's made from...
It's made in the oil refining process. The people who started making plastic worked out that there's all this stuff coming out of the refining process they couldn't use, and plastic has been made from development of those emissions, basically. It gets a bad rap because there's a lot of it around and people dispose of it badly, but actually made a bit of a contribution before it's even started its life as a bottle or a package. Recognising as well. But that's not specifically PET, to be fair. That's plastic generally.
And I know that contamination of plastics was a huge issue, because you guys obviously buy clean, clear plastic. So, you know, what happens with everything else, all the other plastic that can't be used?
Generally, in New Zealand, there's us doing PET. There's a couple of people doing PE, which is number two. Milk bottles are the big one there, but there's a lot of other.
So 3 to 7 has become the issue. The China sword situation has obviously put a lot of emphasis back on what's going to be done with waste materials, not just plastic. And that's led to, I guess, exports going to other countries, so one of which sounds like you've spent some time with.
Yeah, in Indonesia, because it's a lot of... I guess what I'm wondering is how it sits with, you know, developed countries sending their waste pretty much to developing countries, and then I guess having the nerve to critique them on practices when, you know, we're kind of exporting, exporting our waste.
It's our waste that's getting wasted. I mean, our waste that's making the mess. It's not waste that's being generated in those countries necessarily. I mean, I suppose some of theirs, but you know, there's a lot of our stuff. And our, you know, as you say, Western countries have been doing that for years. I mean, that's been the model, has been you put stuff in your recycling bin and you assume it's getting recycled and it's actually getting exported somewhere else, and the bits they can use are getting used and the rest is getting, you know, dumped somewhere, which is no good at all. I mean, our position on all that is that we're only really in the PET business, so we're doing what we can. We're a New Zealand-owned company, 100-year-old private New Zealand business, and part of this recycling initiative is about that. I mean, we're trying to do the right thing in New Zealand and, you know, reuse New Zealand's waste stream rather than just importing more and more plastic to the country, which doesn't have a home, you know, after it's used. So I haven't really got an answer on the other products, but
it's a complicated issue, eh?
Yeah, it is. But I think the good thing in the middle of all this is that what China specifically and subsequently, I understand India and Malaysia are sort of heading the same way, and I think that everyone will end up in the same place, is they're all saying, look, you guys have got to deal with this at home. You know, we're not taking everyone else's rubbish. And short term, that's a bit of a nightmare because it means, you know, countries that don't have facilities in place to deal with all their waste are going to struggle. But medium term and long term, it is a good thing because it's making every economy look at how they deal with their waste and get on with dealing with it. And that means infrastructure, and it means how do we, you know, collect and dispose of our waste material, and how do we avoid importing more? And I guess that's what we're trying to do, is say let's stop bringing in more plastic to the country that we then have to deal with. You know, if we're using what's already here, what was, you know, 2 years ago was waste that was getting exported or dealt with somewhere else can come to flight, and at that point it's a resource. We're using it as material to make more packaging, and we're using something we can take back again and, you know, use many times. So we're actually saving the import of all those tons of material every time we put a ton through the plant. So this is the right way to deal with it.
I know it's probably quite sciencey, but I'd love to hear about the actual process. So what happens to a bottle that ends up at flight, and how does it end up as a kiwifruit punnet?
Yeah, okay. Well, and this video I'll send you will step you through it.
Sweet.
Just to explain, the we buy bales of bottles from the collection companies, you know, around the country. And those are sorted into clear PET bottles and trays, but inevitably there's a lot of other missorts get stuck in there. There'll be an ice cream container, which is polyethylene, or a milk bottle, you know, right down to kids' toys and, you know, stuff that's just accidentally made its way in there. So that whole bale goes into the plant, gets broken up, and we put it through bottle sorters, which are near-infrared scanning, looking at the polymer makeup of whatever's going past them, and those things kick out whatever's not PET or clear PET, and we then bind the bottles up. They've still got their caps and labels, you know, glue and so on them, so that all gets ground up. Then it goes into wash process, light caustic wash to get the glue off. The caps are lighter than the PET, so they are floated off, caps of polyethylene or polypropylene rather than PET. And that material is quite a chunk of the bottle. It's probably 4 or 5% of what we're buying, and it doesn't have any value, but rather than throw it out, we make sure that goes to other recyclers to be used, which, you know, we're basically giving it to them. At that point, you've got PET washed and granulated, and it goes through a number of washing cycles to really clean it up. Once it's out of there, we put it back into the extrusion. We've got an extrusion line that you heat the material up to 280 degrees C and melt it into a sheet. So making rolls of sheet that have got the recycled material. material in them. There's a thin layer of virgin on either side of the recycled material to just give it an extra layer of food safety. The truth is the rPET's been through at 280 degrees itself, so it's had a pretty good, you know, clean up, but it has extra food grade qualification. It's got a layer of very thin layer, but a layer of virgin material on it. And then you take those rolls and you unwind those into a third process, which is thermoform line, where you put them into a mould. You run the sheet, unroll the sheet into this machine, and it's formed into a kiwi fruit punnet or a biscuit tray or whatever it is, and then cut out of the sheet and stacked. All the trim scrap from, you know, all the webbing that's left after you've cut these products out can be granulated and put back in the extruder and reused. No waste in the process within our site. So it's a very material efficient process all the way around the site.
Recently there's been some criticism that the process or the resources used to recycle plastic is quite substantial as well, and that sometimes that outweighs the recycled products produced. I'm just wondering if you had a response to that.
I haven't got the sort of hard data on it, but I would reject that in our process. I mean, I can't speak for other processes. I'm sure there are a lot of different users doing different things with material, but the only part of the process that's additional to what would normally be going on is the washing process, because once it's washed and granulated, we're putting it back through the same process that the virgin material would go through, you know, the extrusion and the thermoforming. That's how the products are made, whether it's with the recycled material or with virgin material. So there's certainly no additional impact there. And as far as the process up to the point of getting it into recycled flake goes, you know, we're talking about moving it around New Zealand to get it to Wellington, which is, you know, it depends where it's come from, but there's a little bit there. But, you know, if it was going to go in the overseas, you've still got to get it to a port, then you've got to put it on a boat and drive it all the way up to wherever it's going, or to the tip. And at the same time, we'd have to be buying new plastic, and that'd be coming in on a boat. So that'd have the equivalent carbon footprint coming the other way. Or the alternative is gets, you know, burnt somewhere badly, you know, up in Asia, and causes a whole lot of pollution, or it pollutes waterways or whatever. Or it goes in the tip here and sits there for however long it is takes to break down, which, you know, the fact we can use it, reuse it, keep reusing it, all we're doing is using some water, a very little bit of caustic and a little bit of power to get what would otherwise be rubbish, or, well, what would otherwise, you know, be a potential pollutant in the world back into a useful resource. You know, it's hard to see that that's not a much, much better option.
And so do you use heat, or is it chemicals too? Because I presume the process would be quite different to Asia, because when I was in Indonesia, they were talking about how they used chemicals to melt it.
Yeah, no, we have good news here is we've got absolute latest technology for both the washing process and for the extrusion and thermoforming processes. So where it's washed, you're trying to get the labels off and remove the caps and all that sort of stuff. So that's being done. I mean, the resources involved in that are some hot water, a very light caustic wash to get the glue off. It's a bit like what you'd have in your dishwasher, that sort of strength of caustic wash. There's not massive amounts of chemicals. Certainly melting it down is done with heat, and it's done in the extruder, completely contained. There's no health risks around being around an extruder while it's doing that. You know, it's completely clean and controlled.
It was really interesting just hearing about the process, because I think everyone always wonders what happens to our recycling, eh?
I think they do, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And that's what we're trying to tell people, is, you know, this is how you can actually be a recycler in New Zealand. You know, if you want to be involved, if you want to get recycling right in New Zealand, you can put your stuff in your recycling bin. That's step one. But you've got to actually buy New Zealand recycled product, because until it's going right around the loop, it's still just not making it. You know, you've actually got to buy the products, and it's not just our products I'm talking about here. You know, there's people have made park benches out of recycled polyethylene and you know, products like that that could very easily be getting bought by councils and governments and so on. And unfortunately, what often happens is it gets as far as the procurement guy, and he goes, oh, well, actually, it's $10 cheaper to buy the CCA-treated wood one. And you know, here we are with however many thousand tons of, you know, old plastic bags and bread bags and all that sort of stuff. Well, they could all be going into council seats and benches and all that sort of stuff. But councils need to say to their procurement people, this is a priority, and, you know, we're prepared to pay another $10. The product probably lasts twice as long anyway. Let's just do the right thing, pay the extra $10 and get on with it. I mean, people who are in a position of buying these products to actually be told they need to prioritise New Zealand recycled material, because until that's the case, recycling, which is expensive compared to buying imported material, will always be on the back foot, because, you know, it's cheaper to import the stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like a mindset thing. And just going back to plastic bags, I know this is moving a bit beyond PET, but, you know, recently I'm sure you've seen the failure of soft plastic recycling, or the plastic bag recycling. Do you have any thoughts on that? Because what happened there?
Well, exactly what I've just been talking about. Everyone was so keen on it. The public responded very well. And the result was there was so much material collected that there wasn't a use for it all. And the big thing with recycling is the only volume you can recycle is what you can sell. Because, you know, we could go off and recycle every last kilo of material in New Zealand. But if we didn't have a sale for it, it would just sit in the car park. I mean, you can't eat it or burn it or do anything else with it. You know, I mean, you've got to have a sale for it. So that's soft plastics. And again, this isn't our thing, so it's an observation from outside, but it would seem to me that the people were making good products from that stuff, and that was park benches and that, you know, those sort of products. And there's some guys south of Auckland somewhere or other making fence posts now from PE. So, you know, there's a potentially fantastic application with, you know, huge volumes and so on. But people have got to support it. You know, someone's got to buy that stuff, because otherwise the guys who are making it, they're in a market. So until someone says, well, actually, this is the right thing to do, usually the plastic stuff's got a lot going for it. You know, it's recyclable at the end as well as while it's being used, whereas a, you know, CCA post goes in the tip and will probably be there forever because it's, you know, it's full of treatment chemicals. But they have to be supported by people in a position to buy these things, and the public support it. You can see that because they go out and put those plastic bags in all the collection points around every supermarket. And, you know, it was such a huge success with the public that they couldn't find enough applications to use the material. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous because there's applications out there for it.
But no, that's really interesting about soft plastic, because it's obviously numerous different types of plastic, and you guys are real centered around PET, but there's all sorts. And just my final question is, are there any, you know, interesting developments in the way plastics are being recycled, or, like, you know, interesting new things that are popping up in the way you guys are working? And
well, I think and if you're looking at New Zealand specifically, what we've done here is completely revolutionary for New Zealand. I mean, no one's got a plant that recycles food-grade product, back into food-grade products. And the beauty of that is if you can keep something at the level it started at, then it can keep going around. If you make something into a product that gets used once, it's good because it saves importing it once, but it doesn't save importing it a time and again. So around the world, look, it's a huge focus, and that's that point we were talking about earlier about, you know, the Asian countries saying they don't want to take everyone else's rubbish anymore. What it's done has made everyone go off and think hard about how they can deal with it. And you know, there's lots of different ideas. I saw something the other day, and I don't know anything about it, but it's someone talking about mixing up 3 to 7 plastic into asphalt and using it in road. And if you go overseas, there's waste-to-energy plants that are clean-burning material, and everyone goes, oh, you can't burn plastic, you know, it'll destroy the environment. But if you apply the right technology to it, you can really burn it very efficiently. Sweden's a good example. They've got more, they actually recycle more than 100% of their waste because they import waste to burn, and they use that to heat towns and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So there's a massive amount of thinking going on about it, because everyone in the Western world is now being told you've got to work out how to deal with this stuff at home, because, you know, there's not an open market for you to just dump it into somewhere in Asia. So, which, you know, as I said earlier, it's a shock to the system, but medium term it's a very good thing.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.